Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Jeffrey Pilgrim is here to commence a further chapter of Office Wife. I'd have given anything to avoid that meeting last night between my wife, Marcia, and Stella, my secretary. But there wasn't a thing I could do. Marcia found out from Millie Mott about my being in Stella's flat the other night, and we had the very devil of a row. Naturally. Well, I mean, you know Marcia. But she began to see reason at last. And to get her mind off the whole affair, I suggested going out to a night spot. Now, I couldn't have done anything worse. We hadn't been there 10 minutes when who should show up but Harry Palmer and Stella, who was wearing an ultra-fashionable gown almost exactly the same as Marcia's. Women. Well, we left in an atmosphere that you could have cut with a meat cleaver. But what still sticks in my mind, and I'm still thinking about it this morning, is how Millie Moffat knew in the first place that I'd been at Stella Bronson's flat. Yeah. How? Yes?
There was a message for you last night, just after you left, Mr. Pilgrim. Mr. Hyman's from Waldron Hartley and Company rang to say...
Millie, you must have been told before. Messages are to be written out when received and delivered to the person concerned. Is that one written out?
Yes, Mr. Pilgrim.
Well, give it to Timmy to bring up. Oh, no, listen. Get someone to take over the switchboard and bring it up here yourself.
Oh, but I'm not supposed to leave the board unless...
Millie, do as you're told, will you? Come up here with that message at once. Cheeky little beggars these girls are. Minnie Moffat will be getting a nice ear before she's much older. Now, where's the message? Oh, thanks. Now, look here, Millie. A couple of evenings ago, you rang my home for some reason or other, remember?
Why, yes. Mr. Puller wanted
yes,
you to...
Yes, yes, I know that. But when I wasn't at home, and you couldn't get me here at the office, you suggested to my wife that I might be at Miss Bronson's flat. Right?
Well, it was only a suggestion.
Mrs. Pilgrim knew perfectly well I'd been to Miss Bronson's flat to work one night. But how did you?
Well, gee, Mr. Pilgrim, I don't know. I guess just about everybody knew that...
I'm not concerned with everybody. I'm concerned with you, Millie. How did you know?
I suppose I just heard it around, sort of. But anyway, I don't see that it's important.
It's important if you've been broadcasting what you hear on that switchboard of yours. I've warned you once before, and it has to stop. Understand?
You seem to think that... Oh, gosh, I wouldn't dream of listening to anything.
All right, that'll do. But remember, this is a business organization, not a school for scandal. Yes?
Just a bit ago here, Jeff. I'm at Percy Fleming's office. You can give me 10 minutes, can't you?
Oh, of course, sir. Do you want me to come in?
No. I'll come in to you.
All right, sir. You can run along now, Millie, but remember what I've said. In future, hold your tongue, or I might be forced to tear it out by the roots. Now, scram.
Yes, Mr. Pilgrim. I'll remember. Oh, good morning, Mr. Bendigo.
Good morning, Millie. Where's that secretary of yours, Jeff?
Oh, she'll be in the accounts room most of the morning, sir. Why? Wait a minute. I'll move that chair around.
No. It's all right. I'll keep my back to the window. Get the morning sun. Now, look here. What are you doing to Marcia?
What am I doing to her?
Yes. I've just been talking to Percy Fleming. He's not altogether happy. That night you were supposed to be working back here.
him.
Where were you, Jeff?
At Stella Bronson's flat.
What? What in Hades were you doing there?
Because the girl had taken all the stuff I needed home with her.
Well, you could have grabbed it and come back here, couldn't you?
I'd give 500 if I had.
Well, it doesn't look too good. If you could come straight out with it to me, why did you have to tell a pack of lies to Marcia and Percy Fleming? I don't like it, Jeff. I don't like it a scrap.
I told no lies, sir. I just kept quiet. But anyway, what the devil has it got to do with Mr. Fleming?
He was back here that night himself. So he knows you must have been somewhere besides your own home.
Mr. Bendigo, I'm getting heartily sick and tired of these perpetual misunderstandings.
Well, I have a perfect right to question you, haven't I?
Possibly. But it goes against the grain to have to justify myself every 5 minutes. First to my wife, and now to you.
Now look here, Jeff. Now, I have a lot of faith in you. You wouldn't be holding down this position if I hadn't. But if there's one thing I won't put up with, it's fellows playing around with the office staff. One hint of that sort of thing, and they're out. No matter who they are.
If you're insinuating that I'm having some sort of an affair with my secretary...
I'm not. But I want my attitude to be perfectly clear. And, Jeff, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt.
There shouldn't be any doubt, sir.
Any doubt there is, you've caused yourself, and not being completely straightforward. Now listen to me. In future, lean over backwards to have no repetition of this business.
There won't be.
Go very carefully. And don't make a solitary move that could give rise to talk. No working late after hours with the Bronson girl. Unless you have someone else there with you. And no driving her home on wet nights. No taking her to lunch so you can discuss an account. No asking her to help you choose your wife's presents. Do you follow me?
Perfectly, sir.
All right, then. I'll have another talk with Marcia.
I'd much rather you didn't.
Why not?
I'm quite capable of running my own household, sir.
Just as you please. But Marcia's jolly worried about it all, I can tell you that.
She won't be after tonight, Mr. Bendigo.
I hope not. But you feel strongly enough at the moment to come here to see Percy Fleming.
What? When was this?
Yesterday. She wanted to know the ins and outs of your northern trip a few weeks ago, how Bronson came to be included, and so forth.
I see.
Well, I have an appointment. Must run along. Now, don't worry too much. It'll all blow over. Now it's off the chest. I hope you don't feel I've been poking the bib in.
Eh? Oh, no. Not at all, sir.
Good. Well, that's that. Goodbye for now, Jeff.
Goodbye, Mr. Bendigo. Well, Marcy has actually been coming up here to see Percy Fleming behind my back. We'll certainly have to do something about that.
Hello there, Angela.
How's life?
Hi, Marcia. I thought we weren't talking to each other anymore. Want a drink?
No, thanks.
Well, darling, you can't sit on a stool at a bar and drink nothing.
All right, then. A cherry brandy. Just had lunch with Titus and Fantasy Green.
How nice. How's that ravishing husband of yours?
That's what I want to talk to you about, Angela. I'm sorry I was beastly to you over, Jeff. Because I've just the faintest idea that you might have been right.
Don't tell me you've caught him languishing in the arms of Brunhilde Bronson.
No.
Now, don't be nauseating. I said I had the faintest idea.
Oh. And what combination of events finally penetrated that shapely little cranium of yours, darling?
He was at Bronson's flat the other night. And told a lot of fairy stories about it.
And that only gives you a faint suspicion?
Oh, good grief. Hey, what are you digging in your bag for?
The address of my psychiatrist. You must see him at once.
Angela Tennant, I did not come here to watch you clowning.
He's serious.
How serious?
Tell me once and for all what you know about Jeff and that disgusting woman.
Well, I saw him buying her a coat of ermine fur.
An absolute honey, too.
Oh, me. You actually saw him?
Uh-huh.
What would you call that the wages of, darling?
And you mean to say you've said nothing all this time?
I didn't want to gallop about telling stories, that's all.
You... Oh.
Angela, I can't stay.
Now, don't rush off in a frenzy. We could still be wrong about Jeffrey.
When he's buying that woman first.
You may as well know, my dear. Jeffrey has a marvelously convincing story to account for it.
I don't want to hear another word. I'm going this minute. And when I see that
man... Just let me tell you first.
Jeff says he bought the coat for you and only had that Bronson woman there to try it on for some. But if you ask me... Mercy, darling, what about your cherry brandy?
Drink it yourself. Do anything with it. Put it on the barman for all I care.
Jeff, I'm finished with you. Once and for all.
You're what?
I'm finished with you. Leaving you, do you understand?
And what is it this time?
You bought an ermine coat for Stella Bronson.
Huh. So Angela Tennant couldn't keep a silly mouth shut even after I explained to her.
Why should she?
Because she knows I bought it for you.
I don't believe it. I'm going to Uncle Tresidder. And I'm having that Bronson woman kicked out of the firm, and you too.
You're doing nothing of the sort. You run around the town like a decapitated hen, picking up every grain of idiotic gossip, and then sit at home waiting to shriek at me. What's the matter with you?
You're the matter with me. You've been putting it over me with Stella Bronson all the time.
I've been doing nothing of the sort.
You've been going to her place at night and buying her things. And you have the bare-faced nerve to stand there and deny it.
The infernal coat is yours. And I'll never go near Bronson's flat again as long as I live.
You can move in with her for all I care. The coat was for me. Where is it?
In the furriers.
What happened? Did you take it back from Stella and put it in store for me?
No.
Because Angela Tennant had seen you buying it?
How many more times do I have to tell you?
I'm going. I won't listen to another word.
Marcia, if you make one move to leave this flat, I'll take you by the scruff of the neck and march you to the furriers to see whether the coat's ever been out of his premises. Now then, make up your mind. What's it to be? Which do you want most? To prove me a rotter or prove yourself a fool? Well? I'm putting a stop to this once and for all. Even if I have to drag in Stella Bronson. If I have to take Marcy to that first shop, I'll cart her along to see Bronson as well. And the next person who tries to make out I'm doing the wrong thing with my wife, I don't care who it is, look out! I've had about enough.
We invite you to listen again to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.